Greetings! And welcome to TIU, theinfounderground.com. Today's date is Monday, 13th of July in the year 2009. I'm your host, Ogner. Little special mid-afternoon session. I'll be starting off with an Irish jig there, very famous band, The Corrs, and we'll be getting into them. TIU and our buddies over at The French Connection were kind of going in the next few weeks and the next 11 weeks go flat out to fight the Zionist plan of the Lisbon 2 Treaty. And I'm going to join in. Daryl's going to join us. Daryl, you with me?
I certainly am, Noel. It's great to be back with you on TIU Radio.
Well, you know, Daryl, we've been discussing this for now several months. We didn't have the exact date. We now have an exact date. 2nd of October 2009, the European politicians are going to try ram down the throats of the Irish people this Lisbon 2 treaty, which was rejected last year in June by 53.4%, and the Zionists got up and said, well, very, very well done, now go back and vote on it again until you get the right vote, which is, you know, very similar to Palestine and Hamas. You know, the people can vote for whoever they like, but if the Zionists aren't happy, they're not happy.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm wondering, after they lost the vote in France and they lost the vote in Holland, they started circumventing the normal rules of voting and started removing from the public the right to have their voices heard. And the legislature in France and Holland both approved something the public didn't want. But there's something else that happened here in France that might be something we need to look at for Ireland. Recently, Sarkozy had some elections for the European Union's elections. Nobody even knew who these people were for the most part. But his party won in a landslide victory. And I thought to myself, this man is despised across France. There's absolutely no way people went out in a landslide and voted for Sarkozy candidates. It just didn't happen. So what made me worry is that even though votes are being counted locally, Noel, everyone is getting the right count at the local level. Whoever's consolidating those votes at the national level, it seems to me there's been some cheating going on. And that's just a speculative thing that I'm stating right now, but the Irish vote needs to be watched very carefully for that. The other alternative would be a landslide no vote, and that's something we got to work on.
Exactly. Daryl, this, I've been contacting different groups, and it's amazing when you call. I called about six or seven Irish people today on their mobile phones. All the numbers are up on websites, and I'll name some of them. And absolutely no problem to get an interview. So I have an interview this evening at 6 p.m. Central European Time. I have one on Thursday, and I have another one on Friday. And the one on Friday will be quite interesting. It's a fairly well-known guy. He's actually head of the striking electricians union in Ireland, and he's also a member of one of these groups against the Lisbon Treaty, and he's coming on. And these people are very friendly, very open. You know, this should be the way it should be. People should be allowed to discuss what this actual treaty. Now, basically, the treaty was going to go swing by population. For example, Germany will have 18% control of the vote in Europe. Places like France and the UK will end up with 12%, and a country like Ireland will go down to 0.8%. So we have no say in Europe. So basically, one of the, now I get, as I said, Darren, we'll get into this, we'll be interviewing people in the next couple of months, is some of the actual key points in the treaty. Now, I'm not going to get into them now with you, Darrell. I mean, I'll let some of our guests talk about them and we'll build up our own knowledge about them. But there's one or two that I picked up on. And one is this, they've written into the treaty. I mean, there's no difference between the treaty from last year and the one they're proposing now. There's nothing new for the Irish. It's just more baloney. But one of the aspects of the treaty allows them to add in new laws into the treaty later on without prior concession. Amazing.
That's right. That's despotism.
Well, this is our job, Darren, in the next couple of months, the next 11 weeks, is to actually, explain some of the finer points of the law or of this, which will be a legally binding agreement. Now, Ireland's in a very peculiar position at the moment. They're nearly bankrupt, very, very close to tittering on the brink. Wouldn't take much for the bankers to bring them down. So, I mean, I'm expecting cheating and pulling hair and cursing and a whole lot before we actually get to the vote. I expect them to cheat. Luckily, we won't be using black box voting unless some of our Irish counterparts can actually fill us in. We have quite a few members on the Info Underground, Darren, quite a few fans of yours that are Irish, that are active on the forums, and we'd be asking these people to fill in, give us some people that we can interview that would know some. Jim Corr is one. The interview is upcoming. Should be an interesting one. But some of the groups, just to give you some of the people that are supporting it, some of the political parties. You've Sinn Féin, you've Republican Sinn Féin, the Communist Party of Ireland, the Socialist Party of Ireland, the Workers' Party. Okay, it's a bit of a, not my favourite groups, but...
Are they supporting the no vote?
They're supporting the no vote.
Isn't that funny? Because the Zionist criminals are the ones who invented socialism and communism.
Yep.
It almost seems to me like false opposition.
Well,
very strange.
I did say that to you privately a couple of days ago, that what I was worried about was, and I wanted to get to know all of these groups, get them on the record and say, this is what we're about, this is why we're voting for no, that at the last minute they'll turn and that then we'll find out who the shills were.
Now, that is exactly what you're right there. And, do you remember when I did talk to Sinn Féin and I was very, interested in getting the skinny on why they voted no last time and why things were being pushed that way. What I found out and what you found out, it was a little bit shocking. Now, they don't carry very much weight in the election process in Ireland. However, the exact thing that you just worried about, with them turning at the last minute en masse by their false opposition saying, oh, well, we've looked at it over and, it's better for the Irish people to say yes. And they get two or three of their false groups to do that, it may swing the public opinion in the wrong direction at the last moment. And you're exactly right. I do worry about that myself.
Absolutely. Now, the three major parties in Ireland, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour Party, support the treaty, no surprise there. So basically you have 95% of the vote or the voting criminal politicians are going for it, and then you have these minor little parties going against it. Some of the other people I've been in touch with, the People's Movement, that's a very interesting interview, that's on Friday. I got CORIR, C-O-I-R, that's coming up during the week. The date isn't fixed. I have Campaign Against the EU Constitution. Seems to be Michael I was talking to earlier today. He's on Thursday evening, about 5 o'clock Irish time, 6 o'clock Central European time. And these people have a lot to say. These people have been going over. Now, according to this guy, Michael, I'll get you a second name now, Darrell, in a second. Begins with Y. They had a meeting last Sunday of 14 groups that are 14 groups representing the no vote on Lisbon. So it'll be interesting to get some more background on some of these groups and to actually check them out. But the thing is here, Europeans will have to come and support the Irish here and this. I mean, we need major support. Some of these groups, if they turn out to be decent, we'll need some sort of sponsoring and money sent to them and stuff like that. Paying for posters. Remember, we have Merkel and that Jewish rabbi's son over there in France that promised that the two of them would come over and deliver 1.8 million leaflets. I mean, they're going to come over and help the yes vote because these are the people that will stand most to gain. So between the UK, Germany and France, they'll control 42% of the vote. Now, we already know that the Czech Republic is already in the hand of Zionists. Hungary is the same thing. So they already are nearly assured of a 50 plus percent Jewish controller of the European super state there, because we are going super state. We're talking between 350 and 380 million people, and the little old Irish are going to have to fight as we always have down the centuries. We've never been defeated, never, and we're not going to let it happen to us this time. Now, Darrell, I sent to a lot of people. I sent to people I was talking to today. There's not a lot going on. They say, yes, the old holidays in Ireland. And I said, yeah, the 3 days of sunshine will be over by next week, and then we need to get down to brass tacks. Now, it's good to hear from some of the groups that they are already getting the campaigns going, because there's going to be an influx of Zionist money, Darrell, into Ireland to support his yes vote. And, you know, we already have the mainstream TV they're going for. We have the mainstream politicians are already in the bag. It's going to be an uphill struggle.
Well, you know, the last time they really believed, even going into the last final voting, that they were going to turn that to a yes. And in fact, there were some quarters within the political elites in Ireland that were a little bit surprised they couldn't deliver. Now, I believe if given a full chance to hear these issues, the no vote will actually increase, not decrease. And I think we could expect 56 or 58%. Now, that won't be enough to stop them from cheating. And again, you brought that up, but I am very worried. These people are they go beyond the law to get what they want. They will take people out if they need to. And, you know, interesting, there's an interesting thing I saw happen after Iceland was going down the tubes financially, after the Zionists completely destroyed their banking system. They were invited into Europe and rushed in as an associate member. I mean, they brought these people into Europe in a bum's rush. And I have to tell you something. Given a little time to take a look at what Iceland did, they used the desperation of the people against them. Now, they can do that same kind of thing in Ireland. If they start jacking up problems in Ireland and then come around and say, well, as soon as you get into Europe, we'll fix these problems for you, we'll loan you money, we'll give you this, we'll give you that, just vote yes on this. That's what I worry about, because they can bring a lot of political clout with them, and a lot of money and a lot of promises, just like they did in Iceland. And, you know, now it's too late for Iceland. They're inside the European Union already. They've signed the documents. They're in big trouble. Well, Ireland's in Europe already, but how about this next stage? And I'm going to tell you, I'm a little worried about what they're going to promise the Irish people on the lead-up to this vote.
Well, I mean, Darrell, they're even lying about it. I'll give you an example. It's in Ireland, they're calling it the European Union Lisbon Reform Treaty. Now, this is a big lie. First of all, there's no such thing as a Reform Lisbon Treaty. It's called the Lisbon Treaty. So nothing has been changed. Ireland gets nothing. We're 0.8% of Europe. That's how they look at us. We're nothing. And so these are the Zionists pulling the strings. They don't need to run all the European countries. I've given you three already. UK, France, and Germany. I mean, we know the Germans are afraid of their crap of Israel. There's a story there, Darrell, that some up in your site there, that someone thinks that David Cameron in the UK is probably the next prime minister, can trace his way back to Moses. And in France, we know about the rabbi in the rabbi's grandson there that's in power. So I mean, they nearly already have a complete block, voting block for Europe already. Czech Republic and a few other countries. So basically, to get the 51%. And then they start passing all sorts of draconian laws, and you know, people are saying people are worried in Ireland about the surveillance. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of time on internet, and they're not used to being an island state. You know, next stop is America. Coming from Europe, next stop is America, is to be under this police grid, which is coming down in Ireland. You know, using different tasers are coming in, and I mean, there's no more messing around here. The politicians, with the financial crisis, don't know what to do, and I think the Zionist bankers, Darrell, have them on strings, just having them dance around for their own amusement. It looks like it.
Well, you know, the whole process that we've been talking about repeatedly here on how they get people in very compromised positions. You know, Cynthia McKinney talked a little bit about it. We've talked about it when what's his name there, Findlay was on, how they get people in bad spots. Now, it seems to me that, you know, the Irish should take a couple of these politicians out and provide them with special favors, a little of this, a little of that, and all of a sudden you know, you're on the hook, and you're on the hook for whatever it is they want you to do. And I think that the politicians in office right now are responsible for the mess that's been created in Ireland. And where is the accountability for the destruction of the financial system when there could have been some rational ideas put into the political structure to stop the nonsense with the housing boom over there? Come on. They were allowing absolute foolishness to take place without anybody ever taking a single stand against it. Nobody did. These people sold Ireland down the river. They got rid of their cottage industries. They brought in foreign-based industries that are now leaving en masse. And the people are going to be left jobless. They don't have any small businesses to fall back on. And, they're going to let the same politicians who got them in that mess tell them what they want to do for superstate Europe. I think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, well, you know, Darrell, they told them where to stick it last summer, and it's hopefully they'll do it. But I'm expecting them to spend a lot more money this time. The politicians in Ireland are as corrupt. I mean, there's more scandals. You think you're in Paris or somewhere with the amount of scandals going on, and over the years, I mean, all the prominent guys have been involved. But, I mean, even from my time living in Ireland, down to the local level, the town commissioner, and it's all about backhanders, Darrell, and, you know, it's who you know and what you know. It's who you know rather than what you know. Money gets exchanged, and this is how the corruption works. Now we have people like, you know, groups like Common Purpose in there now, which is your famous phone call with Sinn Féin. So, you know, I'm going to be asking these sort of questions, and hopefully that will get you in on a couple of these interviews. So what we're looking for here is some cooperation, especially from our Irish contingent that either read Darrell's website every day or come on TIU. We're going to need people in Europe to come and join, spread the word around, send donations to people like Darrell so they can make phone calls. You know, this stuff costs money. I just have to get them into the computer aid for computer telephoning, but it still costs money. And we're going to have to sponsor some of these bigger groups in Ireland, getting out posters and sending out these leaflets and whatever. They're going to need money and support and getting the word out. So basically, anyone that can help us out here, unless you actually find that Lisbon is good for Ireland, we'd love you to come up and tell us, give us the reasons, because we need to learn as well how they're going to try to debunk us. The reasons we've given, the no movement for the no to Lisbon, was spelt out very, very clearly last year. A lot of disinformation was put in by the other side, and they still lost. This year they're going to have to say they're sweeteners. There's absolutely no sweeteners whatsoever, Darrell, in this new bill. This is Ireland going down from a couple of percent down to 0.8% of the overall vote. We can't even pick our own commissioner. Now the commissioners, because each country has a commissioner now, which doesn't mean he doesn't have to be voted in, or he's like that Jewish guy in the UK was a European commissioner, Mandelson. So he wasn't voted in by the people. He was selected by the British government to represent them in...
Well, you know as well as I do, and I talked about him last night with Rafik. The guy is an absolute filthy pig and full of corruption, caught six or eight times with stealing and embezzlement and everything. And every time he left government, he'd go right back to work for none other than Mr. Rothschild. And so why would it be any different for any of the more important commissioners on the European Union circuit? They've got Rothschild-backed. This is going to be the Rothschild superstate.
Well, it won't be far off. And this thing about the commissioner, these commissioners are selected. Now, what the new Lisbon Treaty is saying to the Irish is you wouldn't pick your own commissioner. Now, normally this commissioner, as I said, isn't voted for. He's selected by the ruling government. What they're now saying is Europe will pick somebody to represent Ireland. How about, Benjamin Netanyahu, if he ever, when he loses his job, he wants to come and run for, maybe just select him. Or, this as for Mandelson, Darrell, you were talking about him working for Rothschild. I think it's even more than that. He's a Rothschild's man on the inside, and they have to deal with him. He represents Rothschild, and the British have to take him and put him wherever he wants to go.
That's right, and you can see that this guy, when there was that little dust-up with Rothschild on that boat there, trying to out Cameron's aide, and Cameron taking special favors and stuff. What happened was it was Mendelsohn that went in and stirred the pot and got everything sorted the way he wanted to, and you could see the power this guy wielded, and it was actually shameful, because I read in The Guardian afterwards that, you know, the corruption that had gone on that place was all filmed. They set the guy up. They got him with the hand in the cookie jar,
yeah,
taking donations that weren't legally, he wasn't legally obliged to accept. And, you know, what other things are going on? What are they going to start doing right now in Ireland? They're going to go to the local level, Noel, and start talking to the people counting the votes in Dublin and say, all right, well, this area here is counted by so-and-so, and maybe we need to corrupt him. Maybe we need to give him, you know, catch him on a date. We'll get, you know, when his wife isn't looking or something, and then all of a sudden this guy gives a bad count. Who knows how low they'll go? Who knows?
Yeah, but you know,
I mean, if it comes down, it's only 4.5 million, Noel. We've got a population, a voting population of only half that, and that's not that hard to manipulate if you're a crook.
Very easy done. Plus, you'd have a certain percentage down that won't bother voting. I think voting mightn't be as high as the last time, and that'll play into their hands.
It will, if they can force their adherents to get out and vote. That's why we need a decidedly no outcome. It has to be 58% or better. We have to add to the 52 and make it a clear mandate for no. You know, we do. The French Connection's numbers coming out of Ireland are not small. We do have a lot of people tuning in and reading the stuff. And if we can, over the next 11 weeks, can really make that into a wave of information, then we need people on the ground. They need to be willing to tell their friends, to knock on doors, to show that the Lisbon Treaty 2 is exactly like 1. They can't change it, because if they change it to a different treaty, everyone else in Europe has to re-vote on it.
Exactly.
Everyone gets to ratify the same treaty, Noel, and so there is no change to it. That's a lie, the new Lisbon Treaty. There's nothing new about it, because if they were to change it, France would have to re-vote, Germany would have to re-vote, they all would have to.
Well, the Germans are blocking it slightly at the moment in lower courts, but I don't think that'll last too long. But, you know, I mean, just for, you know, for the French people out there that are proud to be French, the English proud to be English, the Scots, the Finnish, you know, the Danes that are very proud people and, you know, good people all over Europe. You know, Ireland signs this, ratifies this criminal legislation, and you will not be a citizen of France, you'll be a citizen of Europe. You will owe your allegiances to Europe rather than your home country. And I, myself as an Irishman, I never, ever accept that. I was born an Irishman, and I'll die an Irishman. I'm not a European. I am European, but I'm not a European citizen, if you understand the slight difference. I'm an Irish citizen. There's some parts of Europe that I wouldn't tolerate, and I rather that my own people can actually stand up and be proud to be Irish, as we have been for centuries and centuries.
Well, and the, you know, that dignity is being fettered away in every country. You know, the French over here, you know darn well, they've been messing with the French food. Europe, Brussels is telling the French they can't have raw milk cheese and all this other stuff. Now, we're talking about something that goes so deep in this culture, and right now they're making it illegal. They're forcing the food industry here to accept vaccines, whether the French think it's a good idea or not. You know, people's traditions go deeper than just opinion. This is part and parcel of who that person is, and it's all disappearing. We're all going to become automatons controlled through Brussels without voting rights. I mean, come on, ask anybody in Ireland who the heck their European representative is. Nobody even knows.
Actually, very correct, Daryl. Most people haven't a clue who's representing them in Europe. They don't even know what Europe does, except, you know, passing these silly laws. The ones who are, you know, talking about the cheese in France, and they want bananas to be square or to be straight rather than curved. And I mean, silly. You put a whole bunch of people into, you know, give them expense accounts, which is, you know, will be similar to what happened in Parliament recently in the UK. and these people are going to come up with these idiotic laws that go against certain nations. I mean, try to say outlaw sausage eating and then try to give that to the Germans. Hardly going to work.
Well, here's the question. In your view, I mean, you've been talking to a few people, family, friends, guys that you know, grew up with, stuff like that. Where is the no vote in their mind? I mean, they went no last time. Are they angry they're even being forced to vote twice?
Well, we're not going to tell these little Zios that are listening in or to pass it on, but from what the information I'm getting, one of the most prevalent questions is why? Why are we told them no last year, why are they doing it again to us? Now, the biggest disinformation to get over, Daryl, is it's the exact same treaty as you clearly spelt out from last year. There's absolutely no changes, or they'd have to go back again and vote, and then, you know, there's no way. Charlie McCreevy, a well-known Irish politician, European politician, he's from my part of the country. My old man used to vote for him, and it was a decent guy. He looked after my old man on a couple of occasions, if I remember rightly. But he's openly admitted that if it came to an open vote in Europe, there's none of the European countries would vote for it. Zero.
Well, that's right, and the simple truth of the matter is France clearly said no, and we're still in it. They just cheated their way in, and there's no way they're not going to cheat again. That's one of my big worries, Noel, that they're going to cheat.
Well, you know, this is we'd easily be able to pick out. Now, we know that Rothschild going in is going to be the winner of this. I'm already fairly confident that he's guaranteed, if he can just, you know, kill off the Irish, the trial many times before, that they already have 51% in the bag. And the big worry is then you have the big countries, France, UK and Germany will dictate our policy, and, you know, they'll dictate, you know, military policy, they'll enforce abortion. You know, there's no abortion in Ireland. That would become rights of all Europeans. Now, Ireland coming from, you know, a religious background, the Catholic Church, which I don't support, and the question of abortion and divorce went on for 40 years, and the question of divorce is a very, very hot topic that's been voted down several times. It's not something that's wanted in the country, for whether you think you're for or against it. I'm probably against it personally, but it's not something that I've delved into in too much detail. But we will be all of a sudden under super state, you know, federal laws, so we'll have our own little Irish laws. You said something about your neighbour or something, and the police will hassle you, you know, for being abusive and whatever. We'll have a situation then that the feds, the European Zionists will come in and say, no, that's a hate crime, lock him away for 5 years, because we've been listening in on this guy's telephone conversations. And he doesn't believe the Holocaust numbers, or he believes Israel was involved in 9/11. This guy, just arrest him on anything and then get him on a federal charge. It's coming. Police state.
It is. And, you know, how about, if you're a Christian or a Catholic and you don't believe in, anal sex being safe or even being, right, and if you say that, all of a sudden, just like in America, these politically controlled hate laws, you're going to be put in jail for saying sodomy is not the right thing. Now listen, sodomy in the Bible is a mortal sin. It's a terrible sin, and you're not even going to be able to follow or practice your own religion.
Yeah, and the Bible used to stone people for homosexuality.
Well, I mean, but whether or not you have a right to an opinion, but your opinion is going to actually get you put in jail.
That's what's coming. Daryl, let's talk about this guy, Cass Sunstein. It's a new name that's cropped up on the radar. He posted on IamTheWitness.com. Haven't seen around in many places. I think people need to look into this guy. Doesn't like the First Amendment, likes nudges, Daryl. He likes to nudge society.
Well, not very gentle nudges either. And this guy almost seems like what they did with Sarkozy before he became president. They bumped him around from department to department. This cretin here is going from one czar position to another, redoing and rejigging the overall plan. And it's always going to go in the way of limited the discussion and tighter control, more surveillance. More illegal things that you can't do. He's ramping up the police state in everything he does, this guy.
Yeah, well, I have to agree. It's we've all worked it out, darling. I mean, he'll be after us. I mean, we won't be allowed to have independent voices. And if, you know, the European Union is formed a super federal state, you know, they'll have ties, and they'll, you know, whatever the Americans do for Israel, we'll eventually do the very same. You know, it just has to be, excuse me, it just has to become adopted somewhere, like in Australia, that a certain type of speech or something, and then it'll be adopted by the Europeans and then adopted by the Americans or vice versa. Tough times ahead, darling. Very, very tough times ahead.
Well, and it's going to come in a swirl of other bad news. This Irish vote's going to come at a time where the headlines around the world are going to be dicey and scary for a lot of people, and it will give people they'll be feeling like they want to take their eye off the ball when these vaccines are coming out and the flu is here and the finances are getting even worse and the rest of it. And we're going to be in the middle of an Irish vote against Europe. What I'm worried about is it gets lost in the shuffle. We got to make sure that we keep our eye on the ball, even in spite of all of the other news that's going to be pouring out everywhere. After September 1st, all bets are off. I think they're going to hit us with one punch after another of nonsense and crazy stuff. And for us to keep, you know, wade through all the nonsense, we're going to have to really be focused.
Well, Darryl, you know, the 8th biggest economy in the world has crashed, California, and no one's blinked an eye about it. No one's, they're not saying, you know, business as normal and whatever. What happens when America goes down? I don't buy into this Chinese are going to save us. I've been reading a lot about the stimulus package that the Chinese have implemented. This is a short, you know, a quick fix, and they can't survive if the Americans stay in recession for a year or two, or, you know, the next 20 years. This is another bubble that's going to burst.
Well, there is absolutely no way that China's own internal demand can support the industry they've built.
There you go.
There is overcapacity in China. End of story. What does overcapacity mean? It means that they're making things nobody wants to buy. And there's no way they can convert these factories over to making enough washing machines for all the Chinese because they don't have the infrastructure to support that. In other words, they could build washing machines for every Chinese citizen, but they wouldn't have a plug to put it into the wall and light it off. There isn't an infrastructure for electricity and water. They can build a new toilet for somebody in rural China, but they don't have a septic system or a water system that supports a toilet.
Yep.
My point is, there's not enough internal demand in China to keep all of these Kulon province factories and these Shanghai factories that were built in operation. So what does that mean? They're facing massive unemployment in China, and they don't have a social safety net anywhere near like the West. So people are going to be destitute. And the worst thing is many of these people have given up their rural farms, and now they're working in these factories. When they get kicked out of the factory, they don't own those farms anymore. There's no place for them to go. There's going to be awful stuff popping up in China, and I'm looking forward to terrible reports coming in. And this violence that they've just gone through is only the tip of the iceberg for the Chinese, in my view.
I think there's a lot more to come, or there has been a lot more, Darryl, that hasn't been reported by the Zionist news. It'll suit them, you know, to start up some sort of a ruckus in one of these outer countries, parts of China, to actually influence the Chinese leaders to go along with Rothschild.
Well, that's not against what I'm thinking either. In fact, the Chinese leadership has been in league with them all the way back since Mao Zedong. He was put in power with a weaponry in Chinese. The money that came into China came from the Rothschild bankers, and it came through Singapore, and it came through Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nothing different there. We're facing the next 6 months are going to be the most important 6 months in human history. And the reason I say that is that never before in human history have there been so many people that rely on what's taking place. We got 6 billion of us that are all going to be put through the ringer in the next 6 months, and it is going to be just one heck of a battle. And people really need to wrap their brain around how serious this is going to get. And it's really going to ramp up toward the end of August, in my view. And by October 1st, when that vote goes through, There's going to be stuff on front pages that are going to shock people, I believe.
Well, we need to do our best, Daryl. Listen, Daryl, we'll stop it there. Nice little intro into our future Lisbon's series of audio tapes and interviews that we'll try to arrange with different people. But this, Lisbon Treaty isn't got to do with only the Irish. We need other Europeans that have some knowledge to come out here and help us. Come on the audios, contact Daryl through his website and say I have something to say and have something to back it up. And we'll get you on the radio there, and we'll try to educate the Irish people again, Daryl, as if they're stupid. This might work against them is, trying to push it through, a little over a year after the last vote, taking the Irish to be Omadons and Egypts and Gobshites. It might backfire, and it might work to our advantage. Hopefully it will.
Well, that is my hope as well, Noel, and I'm going to be putting everything I can into getting that no vote, a permanent vote.
Okay, Daryl. Listen, Daryl, talk to you very soon.
Thank you, my friend.
And that was Daryl Bradford-Smith from IamTheWitness.com. Getting to the end of this one, it's my little recording studio, if you call it that, is very warm. It's on the top of the top floor, and it is cooking here, but 30 degrees outside, overcast, but very, very heavy conditions. So I'll see how this recording goes later on. Looking forward to it. I'm up for it. Time to stand up as an Irishman for what I absolutely believe, that if we let criminal Zionism take over Europe, then we're going to go the way of America. And it's clear to us Europeans that, if you've looked into Liberty or 9/11 or the banking fiascos, that's the same criminal Zionists always behind it, always the same, always supporting Israel, always supporting Jerusalem as the capital, against the wishes of the peoples of the world that understand that the Palestinian people have a right to exist, and not in a Holocaust camp is where they live. So I'm going to leave you with the chorus, Breathless. Hopefully Jim Corey might be on holidays at the moment, get back to me and get this on, but anyway, I'm going to plough on, march on, do these interviews, as I said, Monday, Thursday, Friday. I'm going to try to fit in something Tuesday and Wednesday. If I have to do two in the evening, I'll do two in the evening. I'm not so sure what they'll make, how long a show will be. It'll be 10 minutes, an hour. I have no idea. Just looking forward to getting the audios done from groups that are in Ireland representing the no vote to the same treaty, which is very important. There has been no changes to this treaty. The course.